13 hours today, so I've been up since 5 a.m.
All right, and we do have a guest tonight. His name is Antonio Perez. He is the founder and director of Aerial Paranormal Investigations Team. Hi, Antonio. Are you there?
I'm right here.
Awesome. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing pretty good. But thanks for the invite. Very well appreciated. Thanks.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, we usually have a extraterrestrial night, and I figured I seen you on Twitter, and I was like, hey, you know, let's get an investigation team. And then I found out you were the founder and the director, and I was like, hey, this is perfect. And I'd like to thank the news article coverage that we've been getting that I don't know where it's been coming from or how, but I would like to thank the UFO Daily and the Top Desk Daily news articles promoting the show. We really appreciate it. That was kind of cool. If you guys want to check out our Twitter at Right Left Turn, and definitely follow Antonio's Twitter. It's at Ariel Phenomenon. And so, Antonio, tell our listeners what you do exactly.
Well, pretty much, we're not the typical UFO investigations organization or team. If you look carefully through the website or some of the cases, you will quickly learn that we kind of are the nuts and bolts type of investigators. We look at UFO reports or any type of aerial phenomena, and we follow this strict process in efforts to try to determine what is the object that the person saw or what they didn't see. But what makes us a little different is that we kind of take out the extraterrestrial element out of our investigations. We look at the UFO, you know, the object itself, whether or not, you know, it's extraterrestrial is irrelevant to us because, you know, most reports, you know, even till today, 95% of most reports is usually something that can be easily attributed to that, something that's man-made or natural phenomena or other.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you look at the history of ufology, you know, 75 years, you know, getting close to 100 years, they're really, I believe in extraterrestrial life out there somewhere, but we just don't have that proof yet. I mean, there's a lot of sketchy photos out there, some videos, some testimony, but even till this day, till this night as we speak, there's no, I like to say, no credible proof beyond a reasonable doubt that aliens exist, you know, and the reports, they go by the hundreds of thousands, and there are dozens of UFO investigators out there, investigation teams. But, you know, even they'll tell you that at this point, we really haven't identified whether or not the aliens exist. So
and of course, if aliens and extraterrestrial life, I would just like to call them other beings because, if there was, you know, to us, we would be the aliens. If there was other beings out there, which, of course, would be a huge waste of space, first of all. But, I mean, if there was and the government knew about it, the government isn't going to tell us. That's going to be completely classified. I know you come from a very credible background. If you guys want to check out the description, he's very credible. I checked out his bio, and I just copied and pasted straight into the description so you guys could see. Thank you very much for serving for our country. That is really awesome of you.
Sure. Yeah, I kind of want to add a little to what you said. You know, we get reports to the government hiding stuff. The government's always known, or it's the corporate elite, you know, are reverse engineering the whatever technology that might have been acquired. We also stay away from that, you know, that kind of reporting as well, because, you know, we get a lot of reports. I have to do the triage. We just don't have enough people in the team. You know, I get something about 20 reports a day, and I have to, you know, just stick, you know, open the cases that I find credible, that I have enough information and a witness that's willing to cooperate. But, you know, I get all kinds of reports. I got one the other day about, you know, some lizards or something are kidnapping people. So, you know, those are the things we kind of stay away from. And the reports that we want to concentrate on are credible witnesses who saw something physical, who want some type of assistance in identifying that. And that's the nuts and bolts of the investigations that we do.
I so wish my dad was there. He had an incident here in Utah at the Great Salt Lake, and I'm not sure how many reports you did of actual unidentified flying objects coming out of water, but he's seen, along with probably 20, 30 other people, three golden, they were the best color he could describe was golden. And he said they were like an egg shape, but the point on the egg was he could never describe the shape. He's never seen a shape before, but the closest he could describe it is the egg shape come up out of the Great Salt Lake back when he was probably in his 20s. It was before I was born, so he's probably about 21, I think, too. Now, him and his friends at this campground area were under the influence, but the not his mother, but his best friend's mother, who is very, very religious, does not believe in extraterrestrials, very close-minded, seen it with her own two eyes. But she won't speak of it. I've tried contacting her. She says, I saw what your dad saw, but I don't want to talk about it. And that's one that's always intrigued me. You know, we've had many reports here in Utah that just my family, let alone that I know of, and then one that I've had myself. You know, I've seen cigar-shaped ones, you know, cigar-shaped unidentified flying objects over the swimming pool when there was probably about 60 other people, including the lifeguards, who literally one of them almost passed out. It's seeing this wingless object just hovering in the sky. But, that was probably when I was 16.
Those cases that always have multiple witnesses is always intriguing to me because, you know, I had a case with one witness. I interviewed the subject. And, you know, I have to, you know, make a decision whether that's a credible report or not. But when I get a report that I have 3, 4, 5, 6, and even up to a dozen witnesses, you know, those are the type of reports we really like to, you know, put most of our muster in. But, you know, unfortunately, even with a case like that, you know, 12 witnesses who see a huge black triangle or something, you know, we still have to usually, you know, we do our investigation, and normally we end up closing the case as unresolved or unidentified because we don't know what it is. They don't know what they saw. But I cannot attribute it to something that's extraterrestrial because I don't have that reasonable, you know, that proof beyond a reasonable doubt. I don't know what it is. I can't, and I don't try to debunk it. I don't try to say, oh, that's the Air Force or something that's man-made, you know. So if you go online, and most of our cases, the closed ones at least, are usually closed as unresolved or unidentified because I couldn't prove whether it was man-made or whether it was extraterrestrial. But there are a few cases that we did, you know, do a thorough investigation and figured out what it was, you know, dirt on the lens, or it was a lens flare, or natural phenomena, you know, some type of lenticular cloud or something. So there are a few cases that we were able to resolve, but for the most part, we get a lot of good cases where, you know, it was a saucer, a black triangle, cigar-shaped aircraft or something. And intriguing as they are, you know, we get photos, we get witness testimony, and we still, it's a very intriguing, you know, hobby, I call it, because, you know, how much effort we put into it. We just, and not just me, you know, there's a lot of UFO organizations out there. And you know, they'll tell you that pretty much the same thing, that they cannot stand, you know, I would say like in a court at all and say, yes, aliens exist and here's the proof. They, you know, it's just not there.
Someday it will be, though, I believe.
Yeah, I hope in my lifetime, you know, that's why I'm doing this. I got a good team with me that have the same goals as mine and mission. You know, they work hard. They put a lot of hours into this. They're all volunteers. They don't get paid because, you know, as corny as it might sound, they, you know, they're looking for the truth as well.
And I think we all are. It may be, you know, if it's UFO investigations or paranormal investigations, you know, everyone is, you know, it's existence unknown. And I hate to quote it, but it really is. And that quote was actually based off of Chris Neighbor's TV show he has the existence is unknown at this point in time. But I think the paranormal field has come very far.
They both have their paranormal UFO investigations. You know, they're kind of, you know, they fall into the same track. It's just
they do. They have a lot of similarities.
Sure, and I get, you know, a couple cases here and there where, there's a little bit of, you know, paranormal activity in those reports, and we don't really do, you know, the paranormal, and there are some local groups here in Maryland. When I do get a report that's kind of their territory, I'll just, yeah, you know, as a courtesy, I'll pass it on to them. What I have been thinking is maybe one day, if it's a good case, and it's kind of both UFO and paranormal, and open up a joint investigation.
That would be amazing.
You know, that's kind of what I'm looking forward to as we expand is, you know, I've got 3 or 4 cases where there was potentially paranormal activity, according to the witness, and I'm looking at some paranormal groups here in the area, and maybe see if they want to do like a joint investigation or something. So that's something that we're looking at for the summer.
Now, I just have a couple more questions, and I'll pass it off to my co-host.
Sure.
First of all, I want to ask Lisa, is there any callers on hold?
No.
Sorry, Ann, repeat that?
No.
Okay, so we have 10 minutes.
Oh, okay, hold on.
If you can talk about it, which case has baffled you the most?
Which case has baffled me? There's a couple, you know, there are different cases, you know, some that deal with abductions, some that deal with close encounters, and some that are bizarre, you know, alleged men in black. I would have to say because of the attention that it's gotten, it's probably the main case was out of it was 12-001, and that's the one that we had out of Niagara Falls. And it's a couple of years old, but it actually didn't get to our desk till about January. And, you know, we got a report of two witnesses out of Niagara Falls, worked at hotels, saw this giant black triangle. And so I passed that case on to Marsha Barnhart. She's one of my lead investigators, and, you know, she did her due diligence, she did her triage, she did her investigation, she interviewed both witnesses multiple times, both verbally, via email, correspondence, you name it, and, you know, she found them credible, I found them credible, a third investigator who was also my team, Paul Carr, found them credible, and, you know, and we did our research, you know, more than 12 people saw this giant black triangle that was, you know, just came out of the water, out of Niagara Falls, hovered for a little while, and went over their hotel and went straight, you know, until it disappeared. So that's a case, you know, where we have multiple witnesses that we interviewed who saw a black triangle that was approximately 240 feet long, very silent. You know, extremely, you know, just hovered out of the water and just gently glided. This was about midnight, I believe, or 10:30, something like that. But, you know, that's not, you know, a few months later, I believe it was 8 months later, according to two witnesses and third witness, actually, these two strange men who were dressed in black, just like you see in the movies, came in looking for the main witness, which wasn't there, and you know, they were just walking around and asking for the witness's name, where was he at, asking strange questions, you know, and we don't know who those guys were, you know. We did get the video footage from the manager of the hotel, and, you know, we initially just kept it to ourselves because, like I told you, you know, we want to stick to the nuts and bolts of the actual UFO case. And then when we got this video footage, we kind of debated for a while, you know, was it a hoax? Was it not a hoax? Was it a hoax on behalf of the witness? Or was it a hoax on behalf of somebody else? So we kind of closed the case, again, like I mentioned, unresolved, unknown. And we couldn't attribute who these men were. We couldn't identify who they were. So we don't know if they're actually men in black. We don't know if they're aliens. We don't know who they are. To be honest, for all I know, this could be a hoax or cannot be a hoax, but I cannot prove either way. So we just, you know, kind of closed the case for a couple, you know, after a couple months, Marcia thought it was a good idea, and I agreed, that we kind of put the video on YouTube and on Coast to Coast, which we did, and we didn't think it was going to get that much attention, which it did, you know, probably over a million hits. And
oh, wow. I don't think I've seen this video. If you could, after the show, could you...
Tweet me the link.
I would love to see this video.
Sure, but, you know...
I'll share it with my listeners as well.
It's always a good idea, and I tell most people, is go to the go to my website first, look at the case before you see the video, which is 12-001, and that way you can get some background information, and then you'll have a better understanding of what you're looking at the video. And so, you know, the video got a lot of attention, you know, for the better part, mostly good attention. A lot of questions, a lot of media asking me, what is this? And I, you know, I gave them the same responses, you know, this is not a promo video. This is, evidence from a case that we have. We don't know who these guys are. We don't know if it's a hoax. We don't know if it actually happened. But I have, you know, 12 witnesses for the UFO report itself, and then I had 3 witnesses for the Men in Black video. All seemed credible. You know, we're talking about, you know, managers here, senior level managers in security. I didn't find any reason not to believe them, and so I put the video up. A lot of hits. You know, I've got questions. And it's good. It's good to put a video up, and then you get a lot of feedback, whether it's good or bad. I got a lot of people debunking it. I got a lot of people saying, oh, this is fake, or this is Antonio trying to promote his team, or this is they're trying to get a TV deal, or, you know, the endless questions for the last 2 weeks have not stopped, and I pretty much tell everybody the same thing. Hey, listen, it's a UFO. It's a case that we got. Part of the evidence was this video. You know, and I closed it as unresolved because I don't know who these guys are. Yes, you know, they do look like the what you would typically think of, these men in black, these tall men wearing the black suits, wearing the black fedora hats. But I don't know who those guys are. You know, they were men in black, according to the witnesses. They were very threatening. You know, they interrogated a lot of the hotel staff. And it's a very interesting case. And, you know, the video's out there, the UFO report is out there, and I welcome any other investigators out there to take a crack at this, you know, and more power to them. I'm definitely, you know, do a joint investigation if that's what they want to do. But, you know, that's just one of the cases. There's a lot more, but to answer your question, that was probably recently one of the most interesting ones.
Okay. And then just to lead into the same kind of the same case, have you contacted the lead witness recently to see if she was ever contacted by these supposed men in black?
Can you say that one more time?
Have you contacted the main witness recently to see if she's ever had any encounters with men that were threatening me?
I don't know which witness you're talking about. For the Men in Black, there was 2 main witnesses that we spoke with.
Yeah, I was just wondering, like, if you ever contacted those witnesses after the Men in Black incident to see if, you know, if they were ever contacted by anyone dressed in black or anything like that.
No, the main witness was not there at the time of the visit. But the security manager, if you go on the YouTube video, we have his witness testimony, kind of a voiceover, because we record all the interviews. So, you know, his testimony is on YouTube. The main witness's testimony is on YouTube, which is kind of hearsay, but it was kind of, you know, our investigation.
No, my question was, have you guys contacted the main witness to see if he or she has had any aftermath of, I know they weren't there at the time that the Men in Black showed up, but if they've had any other counters with any kind of Men in Black or threatening the people.
No, this is one of the interesting cases because after the Men in Black did the visitation, the main witness allegedly reported that he had paranormal activity in the house. And this is a couple of years ago, and till this day, the main witness is still having paranormal activity in the house, and it's been witnessed by his, you know, by the wife, by the babe, by the kid. And allegedly, while he's walking up and down the street, he's also getting paranormal activity following him. So we don't deal with paranormal activity, but I understand that somebody has been looking into that case.
Okay, well, I'm glad someone's helping. That's for sure. And then my last question, and I ask everyone, and this could be about investigations, it can be about life, it could be about anything, but what is the best and worst piece of advice you've ever received from someone else? And you don't have to say who you received it from, but just the best and worst piece of advice you've ever been given.
I always kind of use, I guess, my dad. My dad, we grew up very poor, and today I'm very fortunate because my dad, he pushed me to, you know, go to school, go to grad school, and his advice was that I will take my life as far as I can because nobody's going to hold my hand, and, you know, and I was fortunate. You know, I joined the military, and I went to undergrad, I went to grad school because I didn't want to let my dad down. And I think that was probably the best advice.
Now, what is the worst piece of advice you've ever been given?
Worst piece of advice? I think the worst piece of advice, oh, man, that's a pretty tough question. Well, probably to get back at that one. I've gotten a lot of bad advice.
What's the top one that comes to your mind?
Worst advice would be to... Well, you know what? I'll kind of use, you know, kind of what we're doing here as a good source is somebody told me to, you know, I have to check out, like, conspiracy websites and when I do UFO investigations. And I learned really quickly that there are really good conspiracy websites out there, and they're really bad ones. I won't mention which ones are bad. But I learned that in most of the conspiracy websites is that most members there kind of not only want to debunk everything, but they debunk each other. You know, you go to some of these forums and there's nothing really constructive or that comes out of them because, you know, a good example is, you know, last week when the Men in Black video was uploaded into one of these forums, not only were they attacking me and attacking my investigation and whatever. They even attacked my military credentials and my background. But they were attacking each other. And so this went back and forth for about, I don't know, 30 or 40 replies. And, you know, from this point forward, I just, you know, that was bad advice for me. I just stay away from those conspiracy websites because they really do nothing but derail, you know, the truth and you know, the investigations.
Yeah,
and actually, UFOs. I look at, you know, a lot of the links on those sites, whether it's paranormal or politics. I think to be a really true investigator, the worst advice you can get is to visit those websites for information.
Yeah, I think one of the worst advice or the best advice I've ever, you know, the best advice I've ever been given is to stay strong, stay positive. The worst advice has been to give up. And then also, one of the best advice that I like to give is don't assume things. Don't assume things.
Sure.
Never assume things. That's one thing. But I'm going to go ahead and pass it off to my co-host, Leah. Lisa, you guys have some questions?
Not really.
I just was wondering how you.
Girl.
I'm trying to ask a question. How did you really get into this? I mean, you know, it's not a normal thing to get into. You know.
Yeah, that's a good question. And you know, just like any kid growing up, I was into science fiction, Star Wars, Star Trek, you name it. And what happened was, okay, so I joined the military, and when I got out, I became a special agent for the Department of Defense, and, you know, I got my training as an investigator and stuff like that. And when I went to grad school, I studied planetary science and astrophysics. And so what I decided was, you know, this is something I always wanted to do, is to be a UFO investigator. I've got my background now as an investigator, and now I have my background in astrophysics and planetary science. So I decided just to converge the two together and say, hey, I want to be, part-time UFO investigator, and that's what I did. I just converged two backgrounds that I had and exploited that, and then I just, initially it was just me. You know, I was like, I'm going to do this by myself, and I didn't even have a website. I didn't have a Twitter account. And then I went to a couple of MUFON meetings, and I became a member of MUFON, and they trained me. And I still go to their meetings. I love them. And I was like, I'm just going to do something on my own, something a little different. I go to a lot of these UFO meetings, and they're really UFO clubs. They talk about, aliens and stuff like that. And that's not what I wanted to do. I really wanted to be an investigator. So I was like, okay. So I decided on this website. I enlisted the help of a couple of friends who joined the team. And, you know, from time to time, I recruited more members, more investigators. We sit down once a month. The training is continuous. We continue to train and improve on case management, investigations, receiving reports, following the investigative process. And we're like a family now. You know, we get together next month. We're having a picnic. You know, and so it's, I think it's evolving into something that we all like to do.
I actually did think of a question.
Do you have a question, Lisa?
Yeah. So aside from this, what are your hobbies? I mean, what do you enjoy doing besides this?
Well, I'm one of those guys that you just can't walk into his room because he's got so much junk. But, I do. I like riding motorcycles. I have a Ducati. I like boats. I have a boat also here in Annapolis. I like rock climbing, fishing, hiking, camping, you name it, all that stuff that most guys do. That's just me. I also like to do hunting. My undergrad is in cyber, in computers, so I like computers and stuff like that.
I love computers too.
Yeah, and my full-time job as a consultant here in D.C., for the Department of Defense, I'm a future technology consultant. So what I do is I look at what technologies 30, 40, or 50 years from now are a threat to the Department of Defense. So we don't analyze current technologies, but we kind of sit down and envision what do we need 50 years from now, or what 50 years from now is going to be a threat to our forces.
That's cool.
That is awesome. See, I told you guys he has a very, very good credential. I sent my host over. I was like, he has great credentials. It's going to be an awesome show. I have one more question. Guys, the phone lines are always open for our listeners. If you guys have any questions, it's 213-943-3506 to call in if you guys have any questions. But you guys are going to be doing an upcoming investigation at Skinwalker Ranch.
That is the intent. Let me give you some background on that. I am in the middle of doing a documentary, and the documentary was supposed to be threefold. It was Area 51, Skinwalker Ranch, and the third one was going to be that Men in Black case. But I decided just to continue with two parts, which is Area 51, which we went there in February. We're wrapping that documentary up right now, and then sometime early summer is to go back to Utah and start investigating the Skinwalker ranch out there, because
you guys will definitely have to hit me up when you're in Utah.
There's a lot of people that's interested in that, you know, both UFOs.
Well, no, I would just like to meet you. I mean, I've been out to Skinwalker Ranch and all that good stuff, so that's not a big deal to me, but I'd like to meet you guys.
I was reading
really
about
awesome.
Some cops shot a werewolf or something out there. Is that true, or Skinwalker, or...?
They did shoot an animal that is unidentified,
uh-huh.
is how the legend is being perceived. I call it a legend, but they did shoot an animal that was unidentified. They could not identify it.
Yeah, so apparently, whatever, you know, some research I've done is that the Skinwalker ranch is some kind, because of the Indian burial grounds there, it's some kind of vortex, and it's attracting UFO activity.
Not just UFO, but there's a lot of paranormal activity there, too.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I was out there. But, yeah, that place is
What's the conspiracy behind that some rich guy bought the ranch or something? Some conspiracy? Do you know anything about that, or...?
I don't. As far as I knew, I thought that Dugway owned it now. I don't know if you know what Dugway Proving Ground is, but they're now calling they're calling it the new Area 52, because there is, if you go to Soda Springs, which is just about less than a mile from Dugway,
mm-hmm.
you do a lot of sky watches there, and you will see a lot of unidentified objects. Taking off.
The guy's named Bigelow.
Really,
so apparently this guy named Bigelow, who's like a mid-billionaire, and he's like aerospace defense contractor, bought the place. And now it's under the auspices of Dugway Proving Ground. So, you know, when you have the military, you know, buying a piece of land that has that type of activity, who knows what they're doing there? I don't know what.
there's crazy stuff that goes down there. It's really hard to get access. I'm going to tell you that. You're going to have to probably stay outside of the gate.
Sure, yeah.
I might be able to make a couple phone calls, possibly get you access, but it is. I think you would have better chance getting access on your own with your credentials. I had to go through my grandfather and using his credentials for us to get access.
I kind of don't, yeah. A lot of people tell me that, you know, but I don't really, I keep the two separated, my professional life and then what I do here for Aerial Phenomena. A lot of people tell me, oh, my God, you work at the Pentagon. You have to know about aliens. And I don't.
Well, that's not what I meant. I meant, like, your credentials to be able to actually access to get on the property. Because I had to use my grandfather's credentials. He had to submit in for us to get access and liability and all of that just to get into the Skinwalker Ranch. I've only been able to go on Dugway Proving Ground twice. And that was just
through
the main road and right out.
Yeah, I have my military cat card, so Dugway should be no problem to get onto. Did you see anything while you were there, or?
Oh, there's crazy things. There's too many to keep count. There's lights of all, like, different colored rainbow lights. There's hovering crafts. I mean, I'm pretty sure they're all man-made sets at Dugway, but actually at Skinwalker Ranch, we did see a couple creatures that were unidentified, but we got a lot of paranormal activity when we weren't there for the UFO, but I did keep my eye on the sky, but I didn't see anything while we were out there the one time. But
when I went to Area 51, you know, I didn't think I was going to see anything. I mean, I only spent 3 nights out there, so the odds were against me, but you know, I saw a couple of things here and there. I could probably easily attribute it. You know, it is an airbase in itself, so it probably looked like fighters or something. But I didn't see anything that was strange. The interesting thing is when I was over at right outside Area 51, there was a lot of tourists, and I was able to do something about 20 interviews on video. And it was, you know, everybody had different reasons why they wanted to go there, you know, with their bucket list, or they wanted to see aliens, or they knew the government was hiding something. So it was at least from that point and that perspective, to see why that Area 51 is so interesting to other people. So that was pretty cool. But
you know, I've never been to Area 51, and I've never really found C2 because, I mean, Dugway is just so close. And,
sure.
I mean, to me, I find, you know, even online now, you can just read that there's so much less activity at Area 51 than what there is at Dugway. And, it's transferred. Utah is becoming a very, very hot spot, especially the salt flats. My mother lives in Wendover.
Sure.
And going there and back as many times. I originally lived in Vegas, but I'm in Utah Hospital currently. But going there and back a couple times. You know, there was this one time we seen this one object, and I made them turn down the dirt road to find out. But, of course, it was a aerial. It was a weather balloon. But from a distance, this thing was huge. So I wanted to know, though. But there's been many times we've seen, you know, really weird-shaped objects, circular objects.
Never seen an actual
saucered object, you know, the cigar-shaped object. There was one time that freaked the hell out of me and my mom. We were up on the side of the Salt Lake City, up on the west side, kind of over by Kennecott Copper Mine. And there's this area that you drive up, and it was the 4th of July. We were going up there and we had our convertible, and we were going up there to watch all the fireworks go off across the city. And as we were up there, all of a sudden the spotlight starts coming down and going around in the field, and there's a spotlight who's out here, and I'm looking for another vehicle, and I look up, and the spotlight is coming from something out of the sky that was sort of saucer shaped, and then all of a sudden something made the car jolt, and it scared the shit out of us. I told my mom, she tried to start the car, it stalled, the car jolted again as the light was getting closer, and then she got it started, and we took off, and as soon as we hit the pavement, the light was gone, and we literally watched this object fly straight up in the air to the point where we couldn't identify it from a star anymore, like as a star or anything else.
We get a few cases like that, you know, where there was some type of disturbance, whether it's the vehicle, their cell phone shut off, we don't know what those things are, you know.
Yeah, we don't. That one was one that my mom's also had. My mom and my grandmother both had an incident. My grandmother, when she was younger, was coming back from somewhere, but she remembered, you know, getting in the car, started driving. And then it's like she fell asleep, and all of a sudden she woke up at the top of the avenue. And she was like, I think Ogden is where she was. And she don't know how she got from Ogden to the top of the avenue to Salt Lake City, which is about 80 miles. That happened to my grandmother when she was a kid. She told me many stories. But my mom is really predominant. There was four people in the vehicle. They were going up to Evanston. It was, I think, a birthday or something like that. It was around the 4th of July, and they were buying fireworks, and then they bought a keg, and they were bringing it back. And on their way back, all of a sudden, everyone in the car blacked out, and next thing you know, they end up in the top of the avenue. Everyone wakes up, everyone's fine, but the keg and the fireworks were gone.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. That one, I wish she's currently incarcerated. I wish she was here to tell the story herself. But
one. Great stories like that. And I just wish that somebody just reported it, you know. Even with me trying to spread the message about, you know, what we're doing, we're getting cases, you know, through our website that are like 20, 30 years old. You know, one was 55 years old. This happened 55 years ago because people just don't want to report it, or they feel embarrassed if they report it, or people think they're lying. But we had a case. Here's a good interesting case. We had a case. This was out of South Africa, and what it used to be called Rhodesia. This was like over 50 years ago, and this guy decided just to come forward recently and report the case. And we were able to do research, and very credible guy. This guy's a lawyer. He's got like 20 books out. And you know, he's 70. There's nothing for him to gain or lose. And we were able to identify the object, and, you know, and just, you know, we went as far as contacting the Herald, which was out of Zimbabwe years ago, and they helped us with the case. And, you know, we sat down with the guy and, hey, is this what you saw? And he was like, oh, wow, that was it. And so for him, it was like closure, which was kind of cool. You know, so something that happened to him over 50 years ago, he was able to bring closure to it. So, you know, those cases end up, when they end like that, they, you know, I feel kind of proud that, hey, I helped somebody who wanted something identified. They've been living with this for a long time, and we were able to help them. So that was, I thought that was pretty cool.
I do wish my dad was still with us, because I'm pretty sure he would tell our part. He is always wanted to know what he's seen. And the really weird thing, there was other campers that were out there that all saw the same thing. But
yeah,
the one thing he said that was really odd was there was a little girl riding a tricycle around as everyone was watching, and just said, they're coming for us, they're coming. And as soon as everything vanished, the little girl, like, everyone was trying to figure out where this little girl belonged to what camping family, and
mm-hmm.
they couldn't figure it out. Like, the little girl vanished too. So
you'll see that there's always this level of strangeness, you know, when you read, at least for the better part, most UFO cases, the person, you know, felt like they were being abducted, or, you know, they saw something that was paranormal, or they just felt like they, you know, they time traveled or something. So other than just, hey, I saw a UFO report, and here's the case, there's always something strange about the case itself that they come forward with, and I think that's pretty interesting as well.
Yeah, my mom has always wondered to this day if you know, because I think great-grandmother even had an incident where everyone in the vehicle blacked out and they ended up at the top of the avenues as well. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's something to do with our family, and there's a lot of reports, a lot of UFO reports, a lot of paranormal reports, and just odd reports that I've, you know, people, you know, especially now that they know that I'm into the paranormal and that I am a paranormal investigator, they come forth and they tell me, you know, this, and I'm just looking at them like my grandmother, my great-grandmother, my aunt, my uncles. I was like, what is going on with our family?
I've got a case now out of Jersey. Ray, he was my investigator out in Jersey, and this guy alleges that he was just driving on the turnpike and, you know, saw something strange, blacked out, and woke up, you know, and there was missing time. And, you know, he's alleging that he was abducted. And he's also alleging that he's got some kind of foreign object in his leg, and that he's gone to doctors and all kind of clinics, and they have failed to identify the object. So, you know, we have a guy, you know, Ray's out there investigating that case, and he's got the medical files and the x-rays, and so that's kind of baffling, you know, when you have
My mom's always, you know, she don't remember anything, though, but it would have been, you know, from the time to leave Evanston to reach the top of the avenues, first of all, would be at least 2 hours' time, and she felt like she was only out of it for, like, 5 minutes. You know,
does she have any recurring dreams or any type of dreams or nightmares?
I don't know right now. I haven't really talked. Like I said,
okay.
She she's currently incarcerated, but I haven't really talked to her much about it. Sometimes she'll talk about it, sometimes she won't. But I'll ask her, though, like, because she never, ever since then, she's had a lot of post-traumatic stress.
Sure.
She does have nightmares, really bad nightmares, but she never tells me what they are. And, you know, we witnessed a lot of stuff together, and one being shadow people, and that has literally plagued me since 2005.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I encountered shadow people, and just many things. And my great-grandmother had an incident where, I don't know if it was UFO-related or what it was, but she was coming down Parley's Canyon, which is the same canyon you have to come down to out of Evanston. She was coming down Parley's Canyon. She ended up swerving and the car went off the cliff, but she literally felt something grab her by her shoulders and yank her out the window and lay her on the ground. And the car went off the cliff.
Wow.
Yeah, that one. But that's all she'll tell me. She won't tell me anything else. Most of my family, besides my mom, and my mom just don't like talking about it because it brings up memories and that kind of stuff, but most of my family is extremely religious. So when they come to me, they're very brief. You know, they just tell me the basics. And when I try to dig deeper, that's when they're like, you know, if they don't acknowledge it, then it's not there in their mind. And because of, you know, it has a lot to do with the religion. And I call Utah, and I've told many people this, Utah is closed-minded capital of America. But, you know, there are a few of us who will try to dig for the truth here.
Yes.
And, you know, but it's most, you know, my dad's family has a lot of it, too. My grandmother, before she passed, a lot of experiences, but she flat out would not talk about them because of her religious statute and her statute in the religion. I'm not going to say what religion, but if anyone's from Utah, they know what it is. Or if anyone's heard of Utah, they know what it is. But because she was afraid it would, you know, take a toll on her, and I've actually been excommunicated from the same religion for my paranormal research. So it's just, that's what they're afraid of. You know, they're afraid. A lot of people are afraid to talk because they're either gonna, you know, people are gonna think they're gonna be labeled crazy, or they're going to lose, you know, they're gonna believe that they're gonna lose their faith, and they're scared. A lot of people are scared to talk about it.
People, you know, for the better part, at least most of the cases that I've had, I've noticed that the witness, you know, when they come forward and most of the time I like to do face-to-face, sit down with them. If it's long distance, yeah, we'll do Skype or something. But I get this sense of feeling that I helped them, and they're always grateful for that, and they thank me, and I get a lot of, you know, emails and callbacks. Even after I close the case, it's kind of a long-lasting friendship. You guys really helped me. I really appreciate it. It's not, I don't treat them, you know, my witnesses, you know, case closed, and I don't, you know, and that's it. You know, I still maintain contact with them. And
that's awesome.
Sure. And it's because, you know, I database the case, and you never know, you know, 1 month, 5 months, or a year from now, or 10 years from now, somebody might see the same UFO in the same area. And I can always, you know, I have something to work with already, and I can always contact the witness again. Hey, you know, somebody saw something that looks very similar to what you saw in the same location. So, hey, you're not crazy, you know. So that always helps as well. So.
Yeah, everyone, you know, we have a lot of paranormal shows. The first thing they say is, you're going to think I'm crazy. It's like, no, I don't think you're crazy. You know, there is some people out there that are either doing it for, you know, as a spoof or as a hoax or for attention. And there are people that have legitimately had an experience, but because they've repressed it and they've they've dwelled on it so much that it has literally driven them crazy. But I don't think anyone has ever, you know, I think there was one guy we spoke with. He believed he was a prophet. I would have to call crazy on that one. But that was, you know, up until then, you know, his abduction story and everything, up until the point when he was told by God that he was a prophet, that's when I was just like, you never know.
I'll have once in a while a case like that where it expands into, you know, things outside the scope of what we do. And I've had cases where, you know, people, you know, I initially think it's a UFO report, and it'll make a left turn to something completely different.
We were having an extraterrestrial night, and he called in, and, you know, he was willing to talk about his abduction, and that, you know, wasn't a problem. And, you know, he was going into detail, and he said he remembered everything, that the extraterrestrial showed him death and what death was going to be like. And he went to this, I don't know if they would call it heaven or what, but he went to this area, and they showed him, they literally killed him to show him what it would be like. And it was actually a plus, you know, it wasn't painful. He was reunited with his loved ones, and then he spoke to God, and then God told him that he was a prophet to spread the word. And when I heard the prophet and spread the word, that's when I was like, all right, well, you know, it was a great, you know, but you never know, though. You know, like I said, I can never judge. I won't judge, but to me, that is just religion is really outside of my comfort zone, because there can just be so much controversy, and we like to stay away from controversy. So when something really controversial comes up, we kind of shy away from it, end the conversation the best way that we can, you know, the most appropriate way.
So Rachel, I have a question for you. And of all the paranormal shows out there, which one's your favorite?
Paranormal shows, like movie, like TV shows.
You can turn the TV on today, and there's like Ghost Adventures, Ghost Hunters, Taps. Yeah, I mean, you name it.
Ghost Adventures is my favorite, but it's just not my favorite show. I have a very good relationship with the host, especially with my illness. You can check my favorites on Twitter. I've become. I don't want to go too far and indulge into it, but, you know, it is a show, but I've had many guests on, including a couple of my very, very, very good friends who have gone on the show that say that they do everything legitimately. Of course, they have to keep the ratings up, you know, they add the little thing, you know, the little animations in there for the suspense and whatnot, but Ghost Adventures is my favorite. It's actually the only one that I watch. But I do have mass respect for the Ghost Hunter, Ghost Hunter crew, Amy and Chris Williams and all of them, and Dave Dingo and Dustin Perry and a lot of them. They're really awesome. Paranormal community all around is really awesome. But, my favorite is Ghost Adventures, but, you know, I like the show, but then I got to know the guys, and I don't call myself a fan. I call myself a supporter, because, as we all know, it is, you know, Ghost Adventure series someday will end. But Zach, Nick, Aaron, Jay, Ashley, all of the crew, everyone behind the scenes will move on to other things, and I'll still be there to support them like they've been here to support me through my illness. They're really great support. You know, they've shown me a lot of support, and they're amazing people. So what is your favorite paranormal TV show?
Well, there's a lot of them out there. I kind of like, you know, like Josh Gates and Destination Truth.
You know, I have not seen Destination Truth. DT Sound Ambassador Amanda has sent me a DVD that has some of the most comedies I don't even have Travel Channel right now, so I have to watch all of the Ghost Adventures, the new ones. Season 6 just ended, so when season 7 comes, I'll have to watch all the new ones on YouTube because they don't have Travel Channel here. And so I can't even watch Destination Truth once they do.
Destination Truth is on Sci-Fi.
Yeah, I don't have Sci-Fi either. I don't even got the Bio channel. I don't even have Bio.
Hey, man, didn't you say you needed to take off at 10 o'clock?
Well, if you have the internet, a lot of those are streaming now, like a Netflix, you know, $7 a day, I mean a month, you know, Destination Truth, all those are pretty much on there already.
Awesome. All right, well, we don't have any callers, correct?
No.
All right, well, I'm not sure if he's listening because I never got a reply, but I want to give a shout-out to our good friend, Scott Gruenwald, who told me he'd be listening in, but he's not saying if he did or not, but he told me he would. Scott's awesome. He's an amazing person.
It's Arctic Wolf, and he was in chat earlier.
Who is?
Arctic Wolf is, I believe he's still in chat, actually. Yeah, Arctic Wolf here.
I don't know who Arctic Wolf is.
That's David. He's a friend of mine.
Yeah, I was talking about Scott. Scott said, you know, he'd be listening, but he might have got called out on a job. But, yeah, definitely, it was a wonderful interview. It was very informative as well as very intriguing. And I think it has a lot of people's minds racing, wanting to know answers, which we all speak. So thank you so much for joining us, Antonio. You're welcome to join us again in the future.
Hey, guys, no, I appreciate it. This was, you know, I was honored, and now that I know that you guys are out there, I'll keep you on my favorite tabs, and I'll just keep, you know, you mentioned earlier, you know, they're kind of different, UFOs and paranormal, but, you know, I think there are cases out there that we should be working together in the community to help with.
Every Saturday night, you know, like, our show is just not paranormal. We were going to do originally, like, a Ghost Adventure show, and then I realized, you know, Ghost Adventures ain't going to always be there, even though Zach, Nick, and Aaron, all of them will be. Ghost Adventures won't always be there. So then we went, well, we'll go with paranormal, and then we realized, well, we have a lot of interest. So we have Tuesday night, we're on five nights. Tuesday night is music night. And this is if we don't have guests. Tuesday night is a Wednesday night, or Tuesday night is music night. Wednesday night, paranormal experiences. Thursdays is cryptozoology. We have Mondays and Fridays off, and Saturdays is extraterrestrial and other phenomenon. So.
Great. Well, definitely, Rachel, appreciate it, and we'll stay in touch.
Not a problem. You want to give out your website and your Twitter handle really quick so people can follow you and check out your website and your blog.
Yeah, sure, no problem. It's www.aerial-phenomenon.org. Twitter, the handle is Aerial Phenomena. The A and the P is capitalized. And we also have a hotline. You know, if somebody wants to report a UFO and they don't have internet access, it's 202-905-0421, and, you know, leave a detailed report, and we'll return the call as soon as possible.
Awesome. If you will tweet me that phone number, I will retweet it to all of our followers and our listeners. I didn't know that number. Otherwise, I would have put it in the description.
Great.
But if you want to repeat it one more time for anyone that had to grab a pen and pencil, just in case.
Sure. It's 202-905-0421.
Awesome. Well, it was wonderful having you on. You're always welcome back anytime you like. If hit me up when you guys are in Utah, and if I'm better by then, you know, we'll meet up and do lunch, and I'll buy you guys a drink or something like that.
All right, you guys have a great night. Thank you.
All right, take care. Give me 1 second, and I'll end the call with you, hon. Give me one moment. All right. Good night, Antonio. Take care.
Bye.
All right. Am I still on air?
Yep. I think Leia might be asleep. She said in chat that she's really trying to stay awake.
I'm awake.
Okay.
I'm battling.
If anyone wants to call in and give some feedback, or if you've had an extraterrestrial phenomenon experience, you're more than welcome to now. I'm going to give you guys one chance to call in. If not, we're going to go ahead and end the show. The number is 213-943-3506. Or you can hit the Skype button. It'll walk you through how to call us in via Skype. We'll chit chat for probably about 5 minutes. If we don't get any callers, we'll go ahead and end the show. Scott, if you're listening, my man, you should call in and say hi. Scott is
you
awesome.
Go ahead, you mind if I go ahead and announce next Wednesday's show since it's already pretty much set up?
Sorry?
Wednesday show.
Yes, Wednesday's show, we will be having, this one's, like, oh, yeah, Wednesdays, not Tuesdays. Tuesday, I don't have anything set up yet, so it'll probably be music night. But Wednesday's show, we'll have your Know Your Meme on with us to talk about the Slenderman. And how the Slenderman became so popular on the internet. And I'm hoping that they have information of, like, reported cases and that sort of stuff. Alicia's kind of set everything up. But if anyone's ever seen the Slenderman, that'll be the night to call in and talk about it. That'll be Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. We're always going to be on at 9 p.m. Eastern now. Like I said, we're going to be on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays.
Real quick, if anybody wants to see the Slenderman episode,
and
then I'm going to be posting the link in a moment.
And Sundays. Sorry, we'll be on Sundays, too. We'll be on Sundays. And Sundays has changed. It is still Anything Goes Explicit Sunday, but it is no longer a troll night. It is going to be Anything Goes Explicit Sunday, means anything goes. You can call in. We can talk about sex education if you want to. We can talk about paranormal. We can talk about music. We can talk about, it's going to become a complete open subject night. Again, still no hate bashing and no racism on Sunday night. But other than that, it's an open subject night. It's a night to have fun. But still, if you want to have some serious discussions, I'm more than up for it. But it will no longer be a troll night. It never really has. It has to happen. But it's no longer going to be where the trolls call in and troll us. We are going to have to be an open subject night from now on. There might still be some that will, which is fine. Mostly it's going to be an open subject night. You guys can call and talk about whatever you want. Yeah, we should do a sex education show one of these nights, just for the hell of it, because
I think
it's funny as hell. A sex education show.
How funny is that?
Huh?
Have fun with that.
Yeah, you know you'd want to join.
I would be making perverted jokes the entire time. They would only want
that
to see me to ways to save the planet.
It is an
that
explicit night, you know.
I get what you're saying.
That would be the point of it.
That's right. The internet sorcery is.
We would have to call it. That's what she said. Worth a complete night of that's what she said joke. We do that quite a lot. I think that would be an awesome episode on a Sunday. So I think this Sunday, everything should be.
You know what? This Sunday's Mother's Day. I don't think we should probably do that.
No, we don't.
Should we even have a show this Sunday then?
I'm probably going to be really depressed tomorrow.
Yeah, should we with Mother's Day?
Yeah, tomorrow's Mother's Day.
Why don't we take tomorrow off? I mean, I love to be on air, but like
it's Mother's Day.
It's Mother's Day. I have had a very, very, very long week. I would like to try to get some rest tomorrow.
So that means you guys won't. I will go in and delete tomorrow's episode. You guys won't see us again until Tuesday.
Technically, they don't see us anyways.
Well, hear us again anyways. Well, you can always look at our Twitter pictures and see us that way, but hey.
Yeah, see, and I can't change my Twitter picture.
Oh, no.
The forces from beyond will not allow me to change my Twitter picture.
That's weird.
Yeah, no matter what picture I choose, it will not upload it. It's the right size, all that stuff.
Sometimes upload it and then completely exit out of Twitter and it'll do it.
I did that. I tried to do it on my computer. I tried to do it on my phone. I tried to do it on someone else's computer.
Yeah, I know. Tweetcaster is what you have. The minute you change it, literally hit, instead of the home button, hit the back button as long as it takes to exit out, and then it should save it.
Yep, didn't do it.
That's the only way I did that on
Tweetcaster. I did it on the Twitter app that I have, the normal Twitter app. Mm-hmm. I've done it on my computer. I've done it. I had someone else like log in somewhere else and try to do it. The forces from beyond is not.
It just loves your picture.
What?
It just loves your picture. I said it just loves your picture then.
I'm tempted to see if I have another picture of me and Aaron and try to change that. Whether it's just something that doesn't want. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird.
All right. Well, if we have any callers, guys.
Oh, no.
All right, guys. We're going to say goodnight and we'll be back Tuesday. As far as I know right now. It'll be music night, but again, who knows what could happen in the next couple days. There's a lot of people who I got lined up, but, you know, they just email and say, hey, I got this day available. I know for sure on the 23rd we have Annie Wilder that's going to be with us. From Annie Wilder, she wrote the book about her haunted tea parties, and her episode is also... And there's going to be one of the Ghost Boys episodes is going to be done at Annie Wilder. And I want to say awesome job to Dakota, Connor, and Tanner for having a very awesome night and a very safe night, thankfully. And I want to thank everyone. Dakota did text me the night before the lockdown and asked if I would send out a prayer request, seeing it go on air Friday. But I tweeted the hell out of prayer. They received so many prayers since everyone came off stage. But there were some very nasty premonitions about the lockdown. And I'm glad to say that everyone is safe. They're sweet. And last I seen, Dakota was out to cheat.
Yeah.
He's out relaxed, which is awesome. This is Rachel.
This is Lisa.
This is Leah.
Wow, you totally did not just sound like you for a minute.
I'm sorry.
No, you did. You look like really deep. This is Leah.
He's sorry.
You're like,
I'm exhausted.
You're like, this is Leah. And I was like,
this is Turtle?
Well, I know, but no, it was weird. You're going to have to go back and listen to it. Half of you didn't sound like you, but the other half did. When you said this is Leah.
I'm bipolar.
It was really, 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 really deep. Did you catch that, Lisa? Did you hear that?
Not really.
You guys will have to check out the archive, because I caught that, and you're like, maybe like a frog in your throat. Maybe it's what
maybe.
It is. Or a tunnel in your throat. I know, I'm giving her shit, but no, literally, though, it was really weird. She's just like, this is Leah. It was, I can't even do it. This is Leah? I can't do it, but
she's
I'm a wonderful,
she can
wonderful
like that.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that are with us and no longer with us. Even though they are not with us, remember, death is never a goodbye. It's a see you later. So even if your mother's not with you, still wish her a Mother's Day because she's watching over you. Have a good night.
And I'm going to cry now.
Don't cry.
No, it's my kids I'm missing. That's why Mother's Day is up for me.
But everyone, please have a wonderful, safe weekend. Enjoy Mother's Day, whatever it may be that you are doing on Mother's Day. I will be tweeting. my mother will be for Mother's Day. Everyone, take care, and yeah, that's all I have to say. I think Grandma's passed out for the night.